remain standing
in honor of the gospel. The gospel according to John in the 4th chapter. I'm actually going to begin at the 3rd verse. Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the worshipers, the true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We continue in our series, Jesus and Women in the Gospel of John, Crossing Boundaries. Now, Jesus is always crossing boundaries, constantly crossing boundaries. To quote Charlie Murphy, he is a habitual line stepper, always stepping over the line. In this case, and generally speaking in these stories, Jewish men did not initiate conversations with unknown women, and Jewish rabbis did not talk in public with women. And we read last week his mom helped him to seize an opportunity at a wedding to show what his disciples what he's all about. Overcoming these boundaries of order and ritual to show how his grace is being poured out for everyone. These stories with women in them are always opportunities for Jesus to cross these barriers and overcome them in the name of grace. Here in this story, at the beginning, we see that he crosses a physical boundary to enter into this conversation. Now, a little background in the Gospel of John. Jesus goes to Jerusalem several times. And the other Gospels, the way it's structured is he only goes once at the end of his ministry. But in John, he actually goes several times to Jerusalem. And this is the end of his first trip to Jerusalem. He is now leaving Judea, going back to Galilee. Now, usually Jews would... So if we had a map, we'd see like, Jerusalem, Judea is here, Galilee is up here, and in between is the territory of Samaria, which was the old Samaritan, the northern kingdom. And Jews from Jerusalem and Judea and the ones from Galilee who had to travel down to their temple for the festivals would circumnavigate Samaria. They believed that Samaritans were unclean and impure, and there had been a long history of conflict between Judea and Samaria, and so they would go around Samaria. So when it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria, that it was necessary for him to travel there, well, it's not a navigational necessity. In fact, it's out of the ordinary for him to go through Samaria. As is so often in the Gospels, when it is necessary for Jesus to do something, it is necessary because of God's plan. It is God's plan for Jesus to encounter this woman. And so he goes there into Samaria, crosses that boundary to meet at this well. And there he, as one would expect in Samaria, encounters a Samaritan. And the woman spells it out very clearly how odd this is. And in it, she highlights the various boundaries and barriers that Jesus is about to overcome. And most of these, I found, are tied to history. They're tied to historical circumstance and a piling on of long periods of misunderstanding, of conflict that all come together to form these prejudices and these barriers that separate people from one another. First of all, it's the historical prejudice, as I sort of laid out, between Jews and Samaritans. How is it that you, a Jew, want to talk to me, a Samaritan? There's a layered historical prejudice there. But there's also the misogyny that I pointed out, right? The conflict between men and women. And there's a level also of ethnic superiority. Jews felt that they were better, more ethnically pure than Samaritans, who were generally considered to be descended from those Jews who had remained behind in the land after the exile and intermixed with the local people, the Canaanites, the non-Jewish, intermarried and intermingled. So they were considered to be ethnically impure as well. So this woman that he encounters reminds him of all this history that would keep them apart. And Jesus reminds her that when you're stuck on history, you can miss what's presently right in front of you. He says, you know, if you knew what was happening right now, I wouldn't be asking you for a drink. You'd be asking me for a drink. If you weren't so concerned about the past, then you would realize what right now in the present is happening, and you'd be able to experience it fully. Yet the woman, recognizing what Jesus says, recognizing that he started to talk theologically about living water and about something that she would have remembered and recalled. Now let's remember that the Samaritans read the same scriptures that the Jews did. So she would have remembered these passages from Isaiah that Anna read for us about living water in the desert when the Messiah comes, about forgetting the things of old and being prepared for this new thing that God is going to do with the Messiah. She recognizes that language from her scriptures, and so she challenges Jesus in a theological way, you see, because not only was there a sense of historical prejudice, there was a sense of historical superiority. Both Jerusalem and Samaria claimed to be the true descendants of David, the true line of King David, who had come down God's promises. And so this woman draws upon her faith in God, which rests on the promises made to her ancestor Jacob. And she knows that the only one who could possibly be greater than Jacob, who gave the well, who gave the land, through the promises of God came through to her and to her people, would be the Messiah. So when she challenges Jesus, suggesting, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? What she is essentially saying is, who do you think you are? The Messiah? But before Jesus answers her challenge, he has one final barrier of history to cross. One final thing in the past that needs to be dealt with before he can reveal herself and begin a full relationship with her. It's her own past. Each one of us, yes, we're affected by the past that has come before us within our communities, within our nation, within our world. We're affected by all these historical prejudices and these historical boundaries, but we all each have our own individual pasts which can keep us from forming those deeper relationships with Jesus. And with this woman, Jesus realizes that he must deal with that barrier before he can reveal himself to her. So he talks to her about her past, her five husbands. Now there's a long history of interpretation here to suggest that that he's pointing out and revealing the sin of this woman. Now, some of that, I think, is related to our past, our history of interpretive problematic stuff with women. Women were viewed for many years as too unintelligent, too unspiritual, and too downright evil to think theologically, much less have a theological conversation with Jesus. So this woman was sidelined and just another sinner. But let us talk about circumstance. There may be some sin involved here, but greater still, there is the historical reality that this woman would have had no control over divorce. Within the law of her land, she would have had no control over the five husbands. So we don't know if she has been divorced multiple times or if her husbands have simply died and she's caught in a system of being passed down from brother to brother. Nevertheless, Jesus reveals this barrier of her past. Whatever the circumstances are, Jesus reveals and recognizes that her past is keeping her from having a full relationships with her community and keeping, therefore, her from being able to have the full faithful relationship of God. And Jesus reveals this to her. He doesn't condemn her, yet he reveals it and gives her the opportunity to confess and repent and move forward in a relationship, to cross these boundaries, these things that are holding her back, and to rejoin her community and to begin a fuller relationship with the God in whom she has faith. And so this woman then responds, not with a diversion, but actually recognizing him as a prophet and what he knows about her and revealed about her. She asks him the most pressing theological question that divides him and her. A question that contains all the nuance of past prejudice, of power, of judgment. She talks about worship. She worships God, but there is no temple in Samaria, so they worship in high places. They worship on mountains, as such as the tradition was very early in the times. If you remember the stories of Samuel and Eli and the Ark of the Covenant, these worship was held in holy places. It was only later that it was moved to the temple. Yet the code has said and revealed that the temple is the place to worship, and she wants to know, well, this is the ultimate thing. How do we worship God with these divisions, with these things that are holding us apart and holding us back? And Jesus says to her that the time is coming and is now here when all of these boundaries, all of these barriers between us, between God's people, are being overcome. That by spirit and by truth, by the living water which is being poured out, the free gift of God, God's grace poured out for all, that the Holy Spirit comes among us now, among her and him and all the people of Samaria and all the people of Jerusalem and again throughout the entire world, to reveal to us that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that in Jesus forgiveness of sin is available, that the end of the things that in our past that have affected us and prevented us from forming fuller relationships with God can come to an end through forgiveness and reconciliation, that the end of the things that have separated our communities and separated people from one another can come to an end through the grace of God, the living water being poured out to all, that we can end our shame, end our division, end our prejudice, and that time is now come. And so Jesus reveals himself to this woman, the first person whom he reveals himself as the Messiah to in the Gospel of John. He offers her living water, gushing up to eternal life, and states to her that the hour is now here. So for us living in a divided landscape, a world and community divided by historical prejudice, by continuing thoughts of ethnic superiority, by tyranny of ideas and unfair treatment of women, the time is coming. The hour is coming when Jesus will wipe all those barriers away in the grace of God available through the Holy Spirit, the gift of living water poured out for all of us, gushing up to a life of the age. So we who know that gift, we who have been given the Holy Spirit and share in God's grace, for us, The hour is now here to start overcoming. Here, living water poured out, rivers in the desert of our community and our society. God's free gift, recognizing Jesus Christ as the Savior, not only a Savior from the things that separate us from each other, but a Savior for you, from your past, from the things that cause you shame and things that are holding you back from the full life that God intends for you to live. The age is now here. The reign of God is upon us. The life that Jesus is calling us to is available to live by grace, through faith. Grace gushing up in us to eternal life. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.